Hi, I'm Sarah Karakayan.
I'm Annette Grant, and together we are
Thanks for visiting.
And this is Success Unlocked, Season 1. Let us explain.
So our mission here at Thanks for Visiting is to unite and equip short-term rental hosts to create unique and safe spaces-turned businesses, to strengthen guest and community trust so we can ensure the longevity and profitability of independent hosts. And of course, to bring more host voices to the forefront.
It's one thing to hear our perspective on short-term rental business building strategies, but we wanted to bring more value to you by introducing other incredible hosts to the Thanks for Visiting stage.
So we are excited to present to you this season of Success Unlocked, where our Hosting Business Mastery Membership coaches will discuss operations, social media, unique builds, co-hosting strategies, and so much more.
Today's show, Vacation Ventures, is hosted by Michael Hicks. He has over 20 years experience in various aspects of real estate with 300 deals under his belt. Michael began his career in new construction and is still building homes today, just a little bit differently.
In 2016, Michael and his wife Tia moved into short-term rentals by converting one of their duplexes. They never looked back and began building unique short-term rentals in 2020. From shipping container homes, tree houses, to A-frames, their homes have been viewed over 5 million times on various social media platforms, been featured in multiple magazines, and on A&E's Living Smaller TV series. So let's get to it.
All right, guys, I'm here with Hayden and Nikki Hughes from Journeymore, two of my favorite people in the world. I tell you, when you hit it off with somebody, you meet somebody for the first time and you know you're going to love them, it's great. So from day one, our first dinner together, our first conversation together, we've hit it off. We've had great conversation every time we get together. I know you guys are going to love them. So I want to introduce Hayden and Nikki, and you guys tell a little bit about yourselves and how you got into this content creation influencer world.
Yes. Well, thank you so much for having us. The feeling is mutual. We just adore any time we get together. But yeah, I'll have Hayden tell a little bit about us.
Yeah. So we met in college, got married right after Nikki's senior year. So I was actually still in college. And even at that time, we had really started to dream together. It was something that my dad told me before we got married. He was like, never stop dreaming. Like, that's something that your mom and I always do. And so he was like, take that into your marriage and never stop dreaming about the future and what you want it to look like. And so kind of going into marriage with that mindset, we had kind of some standard jobs. Nikki worked for the state. I was a financial advisor. And after a couple of years of doing that and just kind of seeing some of our friends and other people that we knew with different opportunities that they had taken on social media, we thought, I think we could make something of our own and really build something that's unique. And so we started YouTube, and after about a year of shooting some outdoor content and adventures and things like that, we bought a cabin in Gatlinburg, and so we were hosts for about 6 months and absolutely loved it. But once we had kind of gotten into that and just had seen the realm of hosting and what short-term rentals offer guests, we decided, you know what, let's make a video of staying at a really unique place. And so our first one was in Alabama. And it was a German Unimog, 1966 German Unimog. And so it was this military vehicle that they had created a tiny home in the back of. And it was really like an adult's playground. It was really neat. It's a movie prop. And we were like, well, let's film our stay here, give a tour. And when we put that video out, it did way better than anything before. And so we really knew, okay, this is what we need to do. And so as we kept going and reaching out to hosts and just seeing if they'd be okay with us filming their property and showcasing it to our following on YouTube and Instagram, we really started to grow from there. And that's what kind of built a portfolio to be able to present to hosts and show, like, you know, this is what we've done for other hosts in the past. And we'd love to do the same for you. And so over time, that turned into host giving us a free stay. And we just really began to grow on Instagram and YouTube. And then when we started TikTok, that was a really some fast growth there as well. And so with that following and kind of our experience, we started to see how important it was for hosts to have their own following on social media. And so kind of going back to purchasing that cabin in Gatlinburg, we were able to sell it. And that's what kind of gave us the jump start into going full time. And that's when it really became not just advertising on social media, but also creating content that hosts could use on their own platforms. Because we know that building a following is very important. You know, you can put your property up on Airbnb or VRBO or one of those platforms, but really being able to build your own following and advertise out there to so many other people that may not be scrolling on Airbnb looking for places. And so it really gave us the ability to help hosts to reach the masses. And we've done some incredible things for people, and just seeing how many bookings we've brought to different hosts. And we've even actually had multiple videos that have gone so viral that there's been Airbnb articles and other articles of the most wishlisted places in the US and in different states that have actually been because of our videos. It's no coincidence when an Airbnb has 1,000 saves, and then after our 5 million view video, they've got 80,000 saves. You know, it's like you can definitely find the correlation there in the value that we bring.
Yeah, that's where I want to dive in here. You brought up a lot of good points there. The first one, you know, you're just starting out and you're reaching out to hosts, and that's one of the biggest things that we get hit up on. I mean, I was talking to hosts just this morning, a few hosts, and that was, I got hit up 3 times yesterday by somebody wanting to stay and shoot our property for content in exchange for a stay, and or they're wanting paid. And the catch is usually they've got 143 followers on Instagram, you know. So how do you respond to that, and how do you overcome that obstacle when you're a growing content creator or a host that's trying to juggle who is a good fit for us?
I think it's good for hosts to be wise in knowing the fact that content creation is becoming a very saturated industry, especially when it's coming to Airbnbs, because people are seeing an opportunity to be able to stay for free and just shoot a few photos for a trade. But there are some hosts that have had negative experiences because they don't have a great following, or it's not their full-time job, or their content isn't the level of which they thought it was going to be. And so what hosts can do to help that is basically do their research, look into the people, how many followers they have, hop on the phone with them. That's what we always do, is we have a phone call basically to back our following and our abilities. Like, we have been training for 3 years on some of the top line equipment, and we do our best to make beautiful content creation. We have the statistics and analytics to back everything as well. So yeah, I think just having hosts look into that, but we know that it is something that you guys are getting bombarded with. So we try to find hosts in a unique way, reach out to them on Instagram, and just kind of show our interest in a different way, if that makes sense.
Yeah. And then kind of speaking on that to creators is, I mean, you've got to put the time and the work into building a following that is going to produce both followers and bookings to the host that you're working with. And that takes time to get there. And so you've got to figure out a way to capture that data. And so for us in the beginning, we would have hosts tell us what their average amount of bookings per month was, how many saves on Airbnb they had. And then we just had them watch their analytics on Airbnb when we would release their content. And if somebody had their own website, that was also a great way, is we would have them watch their website analytics and see actually how many people came to their website, how many more saves they got. Did they have a spike in bookings during that week that we were posting? And then for us as creators, you've got to be creative and flexible in how you're willing to work with a host, mm-hmm. especially starting out.
Yeah.
And if you really want to go to a place, but the host is not willing to give you a free stay, sometimes it's worth it to spend the money to stay there.
Mm-hmm.
Our first five or six places that we stayed, we paid full price for.
Mm-hmm.
And there were a couple of places, even after we had thousands and thousands of followers, we still paid to stay there because we knew that that property was going to do well. And from that, we would gain following and we would get benefit from it. And so you just got to kind of look at it in different ways as a creator to really figure out, okay, how can I bring value to the host? Yes, I want to negotiate a free stay or I want to be paid for this work. And it's like, you know, that's fine. You can try to do everything that you want to, but you also have to be flexible as to what the host is willing to allow you to do. And that's just what we had to do in the beginning. Mm-hmm. And we built to a point now where we can pretty much guarantee a certain amount of views, you know, kind of like a bottom line, but then we can also show the great potential too. And then that's another thing is not just offering advertising, but offering content creation. Because I think that's something that hosts are starting to see and understand more
mm-hmm.
is that it is important to build that following on social media, but most hosts are so busy that they can't be on the property shooting the videos that they need and shooting the photos that they need. And so offering different options like that of, hey, I can make you 10 reels for your Instagram and you can also post these to TikTok. You know, having those options opens the door in the way that you are able to present yourself
mm-hmm.
and probably in the way that you could either get a free stay or actually start getting paid for your work.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you mentioned several things there. The one that stood out to me, investing in yourself and in your business, especially in the beginning, you might have to pay to play. But I think that goes both ways. I think that works for the host too. You know, you can't start an Instagram page, have an influencer come out and share content and expect to grow exponentially without having put in the work. You need to start that page when you start your property. You know, you need to have content on there already. I guess I think of it as somebody comes and stays and then we have this big surge of new followers come in, but we have no content there for them to view and we're not posting mm-hmm. consistently. And I'm guilty of that. I'm horrible at posting consistently. But am I a builder or am I creating content? So that's when it works well to stay in my lane and have somebody that's doing content do the content. The second thing that's brought up the most is, does anybody have a sample contract I can use to work with a content creator? I have somebody approach me, but I want to have a contract in place. And from the host perspective, what I see is, we want a guaranteed number of views and a guaranteed number of bookings. And I used to look at it that way. And now I see it more of a long-term play. I mean, we're getting bookings from content that was created 2 and 3 years ago still, you know, because they say, hey, I saw this here. And that content's out there forever. You know, I know Instagram is a little, it goes away a lot quicker than TikTok and YouTube. YouTube is there. And people are constantly watching and constantly seeing. So it's a long-term play. So I would encourage hosts to understand that going in, that, hey, you know, you might not see 10 bookings or 100 bookings tomorrow, but you're going to see them over the next 4 to 5 years. So that investment's always working. From a host perspective, what would you expect to see in a contract from a creator as what they should expect?
It's a good sign if they have a contract, if the creator brings up a contract. But I would say the biggest thing is deliverables and deadlines. So things that they, like if they're going to give you a certain amount of photos and a certain amount of content, you want to have a contract to make sure that they deliver and that they don't come shoot and then you never get it, you never see it, as well as maybe a timeline, deadlines, all of that. And I know you can speak to that because he's the one who writes them up and gives them out.
And it's hard to guarantee a number of views or a number of bookings and things like that. And so we usually stay away from that just to protect ourselves, but also to protect the relationship between mm-hmm. us and the host. Because like you were saying, you know, we've had videos that we've posted and a year later, all of a sudden they take off mm-hmm. and get hundreds of thousands of views. And so with that, there is that long-term aspect. Mm-hmm. And so you don't want to guarantee too much up front and then be contractually obligated to that. And then it doesn't deliver. Now you've got a bad relationship. But then all of a sudden, 3 months later, the video goes crazy. And it's like everything that mm-hmm. you guaranteed, maybe it's blown out of the water. And so you just have to be careful yeah. about what you're willing to guarantee. You can definitely find trends in your analytics. Mm-hmm. And that's what we did. You know, over time, we really started to put together these trends. And typically, every 500,000 views on a video on TikTok, we see 5 to 10 bookings to the host within mm-hmm. that time frame. And so, you know, we can confidently say that that's probably what you're going to see from 500,000 views on this video. Now, obviously, we can't guarantee that the video is going to get 500,000 views because algorithms are always changing. And that's something as a creator that you have to be on top of, is you have to be consistently mm-hmm. researching and diving into what Instagram, what TikTok, what YouTube are doing to really know and understand, okay, this is what I need to be creating and putting out there so that it does well for the host. And so our contract, I actually just use a basic built out contract through Law Depot. And so they have them built for every state. So, you know, if you're going to different states, it just gives you that basis and then you can work in all of the deliverables, like Nikki was saying,
yeah,
and then any kind of timelines and things like that.
So it's like the contract is like deliverables and timeline. And then our meeting is what we, or his meeting that he has with the host, talks about like the social media potential of bookings. And so it's like they're kind of separate. So.
Yeah. And if you're a creator that's just now starting out, you can always try to work in some kind of, hey, if you'll run a discount code with mm-hmm. me, maybe we'll just do Journey More, for example, is the discount code. It's 10% off. Somebody is going to use the discount code if it's there. And not everybody's going to tell you, hey, I found your place through Journey More.
Yeah.
Right. But if you've got a discount code, they'll use the discount code. Mm-hmm. And so kind of working in different things like that, then you can kind of figure out, okay, now the host will be able to tell if I'm bringing them bookings or not. And then maybe you work out a deal where you get $50 or $100 per booking, just depending on what the mm-hmm. price per night is.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, we talked about that as an investment, you know, and again, it's marketing. We never know how it's going to perform. So there are plenty of examples out there of marketing gone bad, or a video turning out maybe not the way it was expected. So for a host that's looking for a return on investment, and we talked about this in our first conversation, you know, if I spend $2,000 on creation, I want $20,000 in bookings. Does it do it? You know, it's hard to track. Like you say, it's hard to track even with a discount code. What I was thinking about the other day, this hit me, is there a way, and maybe this is a new thing, maybe it's not, there are affiliate links everywhere. So mm-hmm. is there a way of setting up with a content creator to say, okay, we'll create this affiliate link on our website. You share that link, and then you're getting so much of that booking off the top every time. Is that a viable option?
I think if you have your own website and you are generating bookings through that website, you can't do it with Airbnb. Airbnb right. used to allow it, but mm-hmm. they don't do it anymore. And I don't think you can do it with VRBO. But if you have your own website, I think there is a way to do it. We actually met a host in New York who we're going to reach out and talk to again, because he had mentioned that there is some type of independent tracking link that mm-hmm. you can use that will actually show you right down to whether the person booked or not.
Mm-hmm.
And so I hadn't heard of that before. I thought an affiliate link would have to be created and registered by the actual website of the host. But he was making it sound like this would be independent. You could set it up yourself. And so we're looking into that now. Again, kind of going back to, if you as a host have a website where you're generating your own bookings, I do think that there is some way to set that up.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm not an expert in software and things that would be able to create that. So I'm not necessarily the person that could tell you how to do it, but I do think that that technology is out there.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it would be very beneficial for all hosts to have something set up like that,
mm-hmm.
because that's going to give you the bargaining power on the other end mm-hmm. to say, okay, maybe I don't want to pay this all out right now, but you know, if you generate enough bookings, maybe you'll make even more than what you've proposed to me. And so
I think there is that need out there of getting a link that tracks it all the way from the creator to the
booking
payment.
Well, mm-hmm. I think, you know, just like in real estate, there's so many different ways to do a deal. And what I'm hearing here is there's no boilerplate to how you have to work with a creator as a host. I think y'all are flexible. If the host can be flexible, and you can come up with a way to, okay, it's so much per booking or it's so much per video or however you have your package set up, it's amicable.
Yes. And that's why I encourage creators, it's even if it's a no up front, you can always come back and say, well, what would you be comfortable with? What works for you? These are all my options. And that's how we work with hosts as well. If they have a specific need, we are sure to meet that and work with them in whatever way is best for them. We just give them the avenue we generally go with.
So. Mm-hmm. And I think there's also, just like with celebrities, I guess you could say, there's like the A-list actors and then, you know, B-list and mm-hmm. so forth under that. And it's like there are certain creators that I would say are like A-list mm-hmm. Airbnb creators. And so it's like those creators, I would say you should have them out to your property
mm-hmm.
because they have a large enough following, an established base that is going to be valuable long-term. And it's probably going to be worth, unless if they're just astronomically priced, it's probably going to be worth the investment mm-hmm. to have them come out. And so that goes all the way back to the beginning of the conversation, is just doing your research and knowing who that creator is and what their following is. Is it a true, genuine following? And is it an engaged following?
Mm-hmm.
And how many followers do they have? And so there is a difference in like an athlete going to maybe that has a million followers on TikTok or Instagram, and they go to a property and they stay and they post something about it. There's a difference in that and people like us who maybe only have like 150,000 followers on Instagram, but it's like our following is very particular in that, you know, we brought those followers in as people that are looking to go book unique experiences.
That's what I was going to say.
Whereas that athlete,
you want to make sure that you're picking out a creator that fits the feel of your property and it's in line with your brand. Otherwise, you're mm-hmm. you're wasting your time in theirs. I'd agree with that. So y'all,
And we do it as our full-time job. And so people who do it as their full-time job and just like as a side weekend, once a year type of deal, you can tell the difference usually.
Yeah, I sent Hayden a message the other day and I was like, watching your videos, y'all are having a lot of fun. You feel a lot more natural and things are really coming together. And I mean, I just love what y'all are doing and y'all are A-listers for sure. What?
You know,
we've talked about the contracts and we've talked about deliverables. What really sets a property apart? When you're going and viewing these properties, what can our hosts do, our listeners do to level up their properties and bring their A game?
We'll probably go from like little things that you can do to big things that you can do. And so I'll start with the little things. Is something that you can do to get great reviews and really upgrade your property is make sure that you have all of the little amenities in your rental that people will need but don't want to bring. And so I know I've talked to you about this before, but like having salt, pepper, spices, coffee, creamer, and sugar for all of your guests to come, and just anything that they could turn and look for and need and be able to find in your home just sets it up for a great experience.
Let's talk about that, because yes, salt and pepper and cream and sugar seems so simple, but you go so many places and it's not there.
It's not there. And I think a lot of people find it annoying to provide those things. And we were hosts once, so we understand that it can be a lot to keep up with, or it's another thing that you have to ask your cleaners to make sure is stocked. But I think it's worth the extra money and the extra time, because I remember when we got super host status, a big thing that people left reviews on were all of the little stuff. And we even provided extra toothbrushes and toothpaste and just things that people could forget. And we got reviews about that all of the time. And I think that people underestimate how much that can upgrade an experience for guests. And I do think, and at the like bottom line, it is worth it.
Mm-hmm. And I think that pairs well with larger kind of experience amenities. And so when I'm thinking about a property that's going to be above and beyond, the host has probably looked to find the perfect property that provides something that you can't have at home. So if you've got a house, or we'll just say a treehouse, something unique, right when you arrive, just seeing it, it's not a normal home. And so automatically when you arrive on the property, you just feel like, okay, this is already a totally different experience. And I think that that's important in really trying to be above and beyond and providing something that, again, you can't get at home. And maybe if you're on a river or you're on property, like have kayaks, have a canoe, something like that, where the guests can actually go and do something fun, or carve a trail throughout the woods that you have on your property. And so it's like having those different things that will set you apart that people are probably going to your Airbnb wanting to do anyway. If they want to go kayaking, and the kayaking place is 3 hours away, they could camp somewhere, or they could stay in this really cool container home that is actually on the river and it already has kayaks. So it's like providing an all-in-one package in that sense, is that's what really sets you apart. And that's what's going to make people go, you know, this might be $200, $300 a night, maybe more, but it's worth every penny, because I'm going to go over here and spend $50 a person on kayak rentals and, you know, do this and that here. And so it's like, the more that you can provide as a full experience, the better it will be. And bringing in theming too, like theming your Airbnb in a certain way. You know, if you're in the mountains, kind of having that mountain theme, or maybe you're just like, you know, we've been to some like an 80s Airbnb, you know, just like having that theme where it kind of brings you into a different world is, I think, also something that can really set you apart. And it just brings people in that you wouldn't typically get if you didn't have those things.
Sure. You talked about having the things and creating that experience and having that feel. The 80s, was that the arcade?
Yes.
Okay. Yep. So for somebody my age or a little older, that's bringing back your childhood.
Yeah.
You know, you might not remember what somebody said to you or what they did, but you're going to remember how they make you feel. So, you know, you're in that, it's a time capsule, and you're feeling that, you're experiencing that. And I think we can do that with all of our homes. You know, even, you know, if your home is not on a river or hanging on the side of a mountain, adding those arcade games, the hot tubs, the pizza ovens, creating something a little bit more than what that, you know, your neighbor has. Speaking on how you're made to feel, what are the hosts doing, the hosts that stand out to you? What are they doing to leave you with that good feeling? of, hey, I would love to go back here?
I think communication is a big starting point. If the host is communicating well, they're making sure that we have everything that we need before we even get onto the property. I think that that is huge. It's just knowing that they are there. They are ready to answer any question, any need that we have immediately. Is, I think that already puts you kind of in that comfortable mode of like, okay, I'm comfortable. I feel good about this. And you just begin to get excited at that point. And then when the host leaves things that are kind of unexpected, that always kind of adds to that feel of gratefulness. You know, it's like, wow, they didn't have to do this. They didn't have to leave the bottle of sparkling grape juice and
chocolates and a handwritten note. Yeah, all of that stuff makes you feel more connected to the person, even though you don't know them at all. And then I also love when the hosts reach out, and for us, we get to know the hosts a lot of the time because we are working with them. We start a working relationship with them. But even if we were outside of what we do, I think I would really enjoy to get to know the host, or at least have that opportunity of, hey, this is why we made this Airbnb. This is a little bit about us. Let us know if you want to know any more. And I would definitely reach out and be like, yes, tell me more, because I love this place. So yeah, getting to know the host is really awesome as well.
Yeah. I talked to another creator that was talking about handwritten notes and how that makes him feel when he shows up to a property and there's a handwritten note, not just a handwritten note that somebody scribbled out, that, you know, a well thought out note that, that was actually handwritten, not printed and copied, you know, 100 times.
Yes, I'm a note keeper, so I keep them all, host. I keep them all.
You know, we try to do little things, and, you know, when you start adding more and more properties, that becomes harder and harder to keep up with that. And, you know, we do the Christmas ornaments from Thanksgiving through the end of the year that are, you know, specific to each property. But aside from that, we've got to come up with better ways to make contact with our guests. We leave stickers and things like that, but we're always trying to figure out how to level up. What would be your number one thing for hosts as to how to level up that experience?
I think a way that you could do that, a recommendation that I have, is I know that some guests do not want to be bothered and they will not check their phone and they will not check your message, and that's totally fine. But we sometimes have had hosts check in with us, you know, halfway through the stay or the first night, saying, hey, I just want to check in to see, make sure you got in okay. If you have any questions, let me know. And that's an opportunity for us to be like, hey, we're actually going to go eat somewhere. Do you have a top recommendation? And, you know, you might have it in your booklet, but we haven't looked yet. And so that's an opportunity to kind of talk back and forth of, say, go here, do this, let me know if you have any other questions, and make that personal connection. And we had, I know as hosts, we had people kind of mention they're communicative, they gave great recommendations, and we really enjoyed our time, and they made sure that we had a good time. And so I think kind of hosts maybe checking in is a good way to level up that as well, to make sure that your guests are having a good time and lead them in the right direction, because you know your place, you've stayed there, you know what's best in the area and what they would have a, like, you're pretty sure they would have a good time at and a great meal at. And so I hope that makes sense.
And as a host, and I'm sure that this has been talked about on other podcasts and things, but you know, you need to stay at your property.
Yeah.
Because that's the only way that you're going to actually know
what it's like,
and how you can elevate the experience. And don't just stay there for one night. Like, probably stay there for two or three nights just to really get a feel for, okay, what am I providing as an experience here? What can I provide? And coming back to us as creators and influencers is, you know, if you've got a social media following, use that and use the content that the creators have made for you as well, because sometimes that can give guests an idea of what to do and how to have fun on your property. I know for us, when we had our cabin, we actually, because we were still content creators at the time, we had a binder that had QR codes that when they scanned them, it would actually bring them to our YouTube channel. And it was one of our videos that was showcasing some of the trails that were in the Smokies or some of the places that we had eaten at that were our favorites. And so that gives a more personal connection between you and the guest. Mm-hmm. Or if you use the content that a creator has made, again, it kind of gives that opportunity for the guest to be inspired of, oh, maybe I should go do this, or maybe I should go do that.
Adding a QR code to your guidebook and your guest book of the videos and the photos that the creators have done.
Yep.
That's a big thing to me. We get questions. I mean, believe it or not, you know, we both grew up in scouting, so we know how to build a campfire, but we get asked all the time, how do I start a fire? And I've started fires for guests, you know, when we happen to be close by or at the property dropping something off, and they'll say, hey, can you start a fire for me? So, you know, I think that adding the QR codes, you know, at the fire pit, and here's how you build a fire and just have a video walkthrough, or here's how you use the pizza oven or the hot tub or whatever it may be. I think all the amenities, especially if they're not something that you would have at home, you know, do a walkthrough on how to make that work. I would think that if you worked with the creator and said, hey, while you're here, could you do a video tutorial on this? And, you know, we'll pay for that too.
Because that's one less thing that you have to do as a busy host that they can do while they're there.
So focus on hosting and turn the content creation to the professionals. Yeah, definitely. I love it.
Yeah. We should have come up with that before.
I know. So you had, I'll send you a bill.
Yeah, exactly.
So
add to our contract.
There you go. Put it in the contract.
For us, it's kind of funny. Like, I actually made a how to build a fire video. It's on YouTube. And so it's like creators are busy too, and we're trying to get everything done, but it's like you can reuse that for other people. And so it's like I could be like, hey, Mike, here's my YouTube video. Just here's the QR code. Stick it on there and bonus just go content. Ahead and use it.
Yeah.
Exactly. Right. So, and then you can repurpose.
Yeah. Yeah. And then eventually you can make the fire at the Airbnb. So then it kind of has that feel across everything. Everything's consistent with
it's on brand Airbnb. And consistent. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Exactly.
So what other types of creators would you tell the listeners to look for? I mean, I know there's so many different creative methods out there and so many different platforms. What other mediums would you say to go after for exposure for their short-term rental?
Good question. I think I'll speak to maybe a little more specific to the types of creators first. Is anybody that does any kind of travel content, people are usually watching them to get ideas of where to go and what to do. And so even though we're specific to Airbnbs, there's a lot of other creators out there that are world travelers, or they travel the US, or maybe they're RVers, or people like that are going to have an audience that is most likely built from people that want to go and experience things out there. And so kind of looking for those creators, you know, they don't have to be just Airbnb creators to bring you value. In that travel realm, you're probably going to find people that will be able to bring the value that you're looking for. And there's always great potential with everybody that you work with. But yeah, having your eye out for, you know, different people that, you know, you might be able to work with. It's not necessarily always the host's number one priority to be scrolling through Instagram or TikTok or YouTube or anything like that. But that can be really helpful. You know, maybe just spending 20 minutes on a Thursday morning, just kind of scrolling through, looking stuff up and just seeing, you know, who's out there, who could really bring me value. And then also trying to partner with other hosts who have a very strong social media following. There's different hosts out there that have hundreds of thousands of followers. And so, you know, reaching out to them and getting their wisdom on their experience of building that following, but then also doing something where you can kind of collaborate together. That way you're broadcasted to their following. because their following is made up of people that want to go to their properties that are unique, that are special. And so if you have something like that, connect with them and they'll broadcast you to their following. And then you might bring up some more guests, some more bookings from that interaction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've worked with some, you're all familiar with Hope here in Chattanooga, Explore Chattanooga.
Yes,
so they do a lot of, they've done some stays with us and we've utilized their services and work out a trade there. And then the picnic, the bougie picnic where they come and set it up in your yard, okay. That was somebody out of Atlanta. And then a local brewery, they have a beer that's, the proceeds go to clean the river here in town. It's like, you know, that works good at the river house. So finding geographic specific creators mm-hmm. that are also, you know, when people are coming into town, those are the things that they're looking to do. I think that gets the word out as well.
Definitely.
Yeah, I think don't be afraid to work with smaller creators, because sometimes smaller creators have really loyal followings, which is amazing. And so if there is someone local and you really enjoy their content, and even if they're smaller, don't be afraid to work with them, because, you know, we wouldn't be where we're at today if people didn't give us a chance. Mm-hmm. And so if they're putting their best foot forward and you really enjoy your relationship with them, go for it.
Yeah. And when we blew up on Instagram, both times, actually, both TikTok and Instagram, we were at, I think, 8,000 followers on Instagram. And we worked with a cabin up in New York. Mm-hmm. And the video that we posted blew up, got over 7 million views on Instagram. And they said that they had never seen a collaboration with an influencer as successful as that one. And to this day, that relationship has continued mm-hmm. and it's been very beneficial for both of us. But if they hadn't have taken that chance and had us come, and they did pay us, they mm-hmm. paid us to come out. And when we only had 8,000 followers on Instagram. And so it's like, there is a lot of potential, even with smaller creators, mm-hmm. as long as they are producing high quality content. And you can tell the difference and, sure. you know, high quality and good content. There's a lot of potential there. And mm-hmm. the same thing happened with TikTok too. I think we had maybe 10,000 followers and one of our first videos got over 1.5 million views for that treehouse that we did. And so there's definitely more potential there than it may seem.
Yeah.
You know, I fought TikTok for a long time. I was like, I'm not doing it. That's so stupid. It's just a bunch of people dancing. And
us yeah. too.
And then, you know, you have that one video that goes crazy and it's like 4.5 million views. And here we are with 80,000 followers. We get bookings from them. I mean, we get wow. bookings from our TikToks. It's a game that I don't necessarily love to play, but it's one I think you have yeah. to.
Yeah. It's so important. Because if you just think about what do people do in their free time? They're on their phones and yeah, they're social scrolling. Media.
Yep. So. All right. We've talked about all the good. Tell me what makes a property suck. And what when you pull up to that property and you're like, oh man, this is a bad idea, or an experience at a property. Tell me about a bad experience with a host.
I think it starts before you even get there. I think poor communication up front can really damper an experience. You know, if you don't have the information you need or the address or the code or they're not responding, we've been very lucky. We've had really good experiences, but there are just like little things like communication that, yeah, that can be set yeah. out poorly.
There's a lot of places that are in remote areas mm-hmm. and we were given the address, but then we weren't given the code to actually get into mm-hmm. the place. And we, you know, like waiting for them to respond. We've been reaching out like, hey, what's the code? What's the code? We get there and there's no service. Mm-hmm. And so then we have to drive back out 30, 40 minutes or whatever it is just to get service to be able to mm-hmm. try to contact them again.
And so we've had hosts who anticipate that need. They're like, hey, screenshot this. You will need it. The service is spotty until we get there. And so we really appreciate when that happens, when on the forefront, they make sure that we have a good check-in experience.
Yeah. So. And another thing is setting proper expectations.
Oh, yeah.
You know, if your property is in close proximity to other places, like just make sure people know that. You don't necessarily have to show it in the photos, but like just explaining that in the message that they get once they book or in your listing is always important, because there's nothing worse than being super excited about this out of this world experience where I'm going to get away and be disconnected. And then you get there and it's like, wait a second, this is in a neighborhood. Mm-hmm. This is in somebody's backyard. Like this is not the feel that I was going for.
But you know, that ahead of time, you're like, oh, okay. It still looks great. And then you're at least aware
right
before you go. And we had ladybugs at our cabin in Gatlinburg. And so we would have our cleaners clean up the ladybugs before each guest, but we would let them know, hey, it's ladybug season. You might see a few, just a heads up. And we never had a complaint.
So. Yeah. And, you know, I think there's only been one time where the place wasn't clean super well. Mm-hmm. That's always super important. Mm-hmm. I know as a host and many others that, you know, making sure that you've got great cleaners, mm-hmm. people are going to take care of it and, you know, at least get close to what you yourself would do in terms of the cleanliness is very important too.
That goes back to, you know, staying at your properties. I like to walk through my properties and I don't do it often enough, but I get frustrated every time I go because I see things. I'm like, why hasn't anybody said anything about this? You know, this needs to be repainted. The turnover team is seeing it every day, so it's a gradual progression for them, and they're not noticing it. But when I get up there, I'm like, I flip my lid because I'm like, man, you know, we need to fix these things. We want it to be like the pictures, and we want it to be that experience that they're expecting. So I think that's something, you know, inspect your properties or have somebody walk through your properties frequently, especially in these tiny homes. They get scuffed up because people are moving luggage around and, you know, you don't have the room that you have in a bigger home, but
right, so true,
definitely.
You talk about communication, and I know things happen. I mean, it's just the way it is. We went to Alaska a few weeks ago, and we had just opened the condo in Gulf Shores, and the first guest is coming while we're on the cruise with spotty cell service, and like the one where I think we were actually on the flight on the way home. You know, we have our phones on airplane mode, and we had a co-host helping to answer communication from the guest. They arrived and couldn't find the unit. And instead of messaging through Airbnb where they booked and staying on the platform with it, they decided to text. Well, it was an hour and a half later before we received the message saying that, you know, we had fail safes in place, and we did, but it didn't go that way. So things do happen. And, you know, I think as guests, we have to understand that those things do happen, but it's frustrating when it happens to you. You know, she was an hour and a half late to get checked in because she couldn't communicate with us.
Yeah, there has to be that forgiveness there, because you're right. Things do happen. And we understand that more than most because we were hosts at one time.
And things would go wrong and we'd be like, oh my gosh, this is terrible. But most people, thankfully, are understanding. And we've even had hosts on stays that, you know, we just do for ourselves. If something goes wrong, they're like, oh, you know, I'll give you a gift card or this or that, or I'll pay for dinner. I'm so sorry that happened, or something along those lines, or give you a discount to kind of help with something going wrong. And they definitely didn't even need to do that in the first place, because we understand things happen. And so,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's hosting can be stressful. Essentially.
It can be.
I have like PTSD from the ding on Airbnb. I'm like, oh no, is something wrong?
Exactly. We were able to work out a late checkout with them, so they were satisfied. But you know, and we've done the same thing where something's going on, and maybe the firewood guy dropped the firewood off in the driveway instead of putting it in the, you know, and they're inconvenienced for 20 or 30 minutes. You know, we'll send them a $20 gift card to the pizza restaurant down the street and experience the area while you're here. So
because guests, they want to have a good time, so they're willing.
Well, I've really appreciated you guys coming on. This has been very insightful. What is next for Hayden and Nikki?
Oh, man. That's a good question.
We're still, I mean, trucking along. We are busy bees and it's still just the two of us. And so we're working really hard and going to different Airbnbs and hopefully having a trip out west again soon. And we have our passport, so we want to go abroad eventually. So
yeah,
Journey More International. Okay.
That's right. Hopefully here soon.
Okay. You'll be too big to come and visit Chattanooga.
Never. No, okay. We love you guys.
We'll have you down at the new treehouse soon. Hopefully we'll be ready in the next month or so.
We're excited for it.
How do we find you guys?
Well, we're on Instagram and TikTok as @journey.more. Mm-hmm. And then YouTube, if you just type in Journey More, that's us. Mm-hmm. And so that's our main platforms. That's where all of our content is. And I mean, we've stayed in over 70 of the most amazing Airbnbs in the US. So it's a great way to find an awesome place to stay and then also kind of interact with us and really just see what we're doing.
Yes. And hosts, creators, reach out to us. We love to communicate and chat. So we are always here and open for conversation.
Yeah.
What a fun life. It's so awesome that you guys get to experience this together and be with each other all the time. And hopefully that doesn't get too stressful.
Yep. I mean, it's a lot of hard work.
To have its moments.
It can be challenging and stressful at times.
We wouldn't have it any other way.
Yeah. It's amazing.
Guys, go on there and check them out on YouTube, Instagram, TikTok, and give them a like, subscribe, and a follow. Make sure to leave some comments for them. See you guys next time.
Thank you, Mike.
Thanks for listening to the Thanks for Visiting podcast. Head on over to the show notes for additional information about today's episode. And please hit that subscribe button and leave us a review. Awesome reviews help us bring you awesome content. Thanks for tuning in, and we look forward to hanging out with you next week. Ever wonder what it would be like to have personalized guidance from Annette and me? Imagine achieving the same incredible results we helped Amy achieve, increasing her overall revenue by a staggering 187% by diving into her biz numbers. Or perhaps you'd love to boost your hosting business like Miranda, who added a fantastic $10,000 by refining her pet policy. Well, here's a scoop. There's only one way to get that one-on-one support from Annette, myself, our expert coaches, and our industry pros is by attending our on-demand workshop. Trust us, it's worth it. During the workshop, we'll make an offer to all of our attendees to join our membership. Once you're a part of our exclusive membership, you'll gain access to our elite community of hosts in our private Facebook group. This is where the magic truly happens. Members are engaging in discussions about their business numbers, occupancy rates, how to handle guest challenges, and providing unwavering support to one another. Plus, we will have live coaching calls to help you dive deeper into portfolio growth, team building, marketing, and so much more. Don't wait any longer. Head on over to www.hostmasterclass.com right now to secure your spot and embark on this exciting journey with us. That's www.hostmasterclass.com. Trust us, you won't regret it.